Well, the day you've all been waiting for has finally come. April the giraffe gave birth yesterday. It finally happened. Also, Jesus rose. Well, I want to not tell you about April today, but I want to tell you about a young boy named Philip, who was born with Down syndrome. He was a happy kid, but he knew he was different than the other kids. Philip went to Sunday school every week and was in a class with 9 other girls and boys. The teacher made sure to include Philip in all the activities, and the children did their best to welcome him into their group, because though he was different, he was a part of their class. At Easter, the teacher had a great idea for a lesson. She collected 12 large plastic eggs. Maybe you've had those eggs in your house today. She gave one to each child. It was a beautiful day, and she sent them outside to find a symbol of new life to put in their Easter egg and bring it back to the class. Then they would open and share their new life symbols. So they all went outside to look around, and it was glorious and confusing and wild. All the things that Sunday school is with little kids. They ran about and gathered their symbols and returned to their classroom. They put their big eggs on the table, and the teacher opened them. In the first one, there was a flower, and the little children oohed and aahed. She opened another, and there was a bud. Another one contained a rock. Some children laughed and said, "That's crazy. How's a rock supposed to be like new life?" But the girl whose egg it was spoke up. She said, "I knew all of you would get flowers and buds and leaves and butterflies and things like that. So I got a rock because I wanted to be different. And for me, that's new life." The teacher went on opening the eggs. When she got to the last one and opened it, there was nothing in it. Some of the children said, "That's silly. Somebody didn't do it right." The teacher felt a tug on her shirt and looked down. Philip was standing beside her. "It's mine," he said. One of the kids told him he didn't do it right, as kids, and often grown-ups, are quick to point out when someone does something wrong. "I did so do it right," said Philip. "I did do it. It's empty. The tomb is empty." There was silence. Then the teacher said, "What a terrific idea." The rest of the children joined in praising Philip, and they all agreed he had the best surprise. The whole class discovered new life that day because they learned that everyone has something special to give and that anyone can surprise us. Philip's empty egg reminds us of the greatest surprise the world has ever known, the surprise of the empty tomb. Instead of finding the dead body of their teacher, Jesus, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who was probably Jesus' own mom, find an empty tomb. And that's after they feel an earthquake, see an angel, and the big, tough Roman guards that are guarding the tomb faint. All in all, I'd say that was a pretty surprising morning. So it's no wonder that the first words spoken to the women on that Easter morning are, "Do not be afraid." These are words they've heard before. They were said the night Jesus was born, too. Remember, the angels said those words to the shepherds standing on that hill outside of Bethlehem. The angels told the shepherds to go and see the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And they went and they saw and they told. Today, the women are told, "Do not be afraid." And again, they're invited to see nothing. The tomb is empty. The angels say, "I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised." The women are shocked and filled with fear. The news of the empty tomb didn't take away their fear. In fact, it scared them even more. But they went on their way to tell the others. And while they're going, they're surprised again, this time by Jesus. Jesus says, "Greetings." And then again we hear, "Do not be afraid." The women fall at his feet and grab onto them and worship him. But Jesus tells them he's on the move, and he's going to meet everyone in Galilee. They need to go and spread the word for the disciples to be on the lookout for him. The women had prepared that day to be undertakers, but instead, they're apostles, the first ones sent to preach the good news. What a surprise. What surprises have you had in your life? Think about that for a minute. Surprises can be good or bad, but whatever category your surprises fall into, I think we can all agree that life doesn't go the way we think it will. Our dreams don't all come true. Our wishes and prayers aren't answered in the ways we hope for. The world doesn't always go how we hope. We have evil in our world. Bombs are dropped. Innocent children shake and die in images that haunt us. And the list goes on and on. Our hope and faith can feel buried under the weight of the world, right alongside Jesus in that tomb, sealed off by a giant boulder. But the world may win for a time, but it doesn't win in the end. In the end, the stone gets rolled back. We may think our life is over, but God has another surprise in store for us. This is the lesson of the empty tomb. In times of death and darkness and sadness, God surprises us by emerging even stronger than before. And in the end, nothing can stop God. Not a giant boulder, not government or religious persecution, not violence or even death. And death and darkness is where God shines the brightest. God's best work didn't happen when people were at their best. It didn't happen because the disciples believed in God and said and did all the right things, because they never really got what Jesus was trying to tell them. And maybe we can identify with that too. The events of Good Friday and the next couple days were enough to send the disciples into their own tomb of sorts, hiding away behind locked doors. Well, I'll accept those women. Thank you, women. But we are really the same way. We have a hard time understanding what Jesus means. When things get tough, we withdraw to our couches or into our work or to a bottle to numb our pain. We're not really very different than the disciples. But that doesn't stop God. So don't listen to anyone who tries to tell you that your pain and suffering and failures are because you just didn't try hard enough or believe hard enough. Belief certainly helps, but it's not a cause and effect thing for good things in our lives. In fact, when things are the worst, the biggest mess is the perfect time for God to step in. God's best work happened when people were scared, when the earth shook, and when the government was doing its darndest to shut up anyone who threatened its survival. The guards who fainted at Jesus' tomb were immediately paid off by the Romans and told to say that Jesus' body was stolen by his followers. But it didn't work. The truth came out. That first Easter morning, God's best work shook the world, the stone was rolled back, and the empty tomb surprised even the most faithful, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Philip was born with Down syndrome, but also with other health problems that claimed his life about a year after that day he taught his Sunday school class that new life can be found in that empty tomb. At his funeral, his Sunday school classmates walked up to his casket, and on it they each placed an empty Easter egg. Philip was no longer with them, but they knew he was with Jesus because of that empty tomb. And that is the promise for all of us, too. If you have an empty seat at your dinner table today, or maybe a spot in your heart that pangs for someone who has died or who has left, remember the promise of the empty tomb, that Christ is risen, and that we will all rise someday too. Emptiness and death are just a part of the process. It's how we know new life is coming. So don't be afraid. God is full of surprises. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen.